Lord, we are so thankful for this time that we can share together in the sanctuary. Might you continue to be glorified, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Daniel, would you like to come up?
No, the exact one. But my wife and I decided that we're going to be a part of a week-long Wycliffe Bible translation event. My wife and I were really praying at that time. God, if you want us to be missionaries somewhere, just please let us know if that's overseas or here in the U.S. And I saw something there that really impacted me and has stuck with me for a long time. There was a wall at this place that had books, books after books. I don't know if there were thousands, but definitely hundreds of books. And each of those books, each one of those was a Bible translation. And thinking through that, how much blood and sweat and trials and persecution was a part of just one of those books. And then you see a whole wall full of that. These are our brothers and sisters who went, and a lot of them suffered and died in this work to reach people and share that light in this dark world. And yeah, it is a privilege to be a part of God's family, but we can't keep this to ourselves. The last words Jesus gave to us in Matthew was, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And some of you are going to be a part of the prison ministry, going to the prison. And the Bible tells us that is something that we are supposed to do. We're supposed to go visit those in prison. Some of us are, the Bible says we're supposed to give water to that thirsty child. The Bible tells us to clothe the naked and to give to the poor and many other things. Some of us haven't been in a prison. Some of us haven't actually clothed the naked or given water to a thirsty child. But our body together needs to do that. Okay? We each have a part that God has given us. Not all of us are going to be missionaries overseas, but we do have brothers and sisters who are missionaries, and we need to support them and lift them up. So I'm going to pray for my sister Julie that we met many years ago in a really beautiful small church in our youth. So I'm going to pray, and then Julie will be able to come up and share. Thank you, Lord, that you are good to us, and please just open our hearts and minds to what Julie's going to share, and I pray that you would indwell within her clarity of mind and a fullness of your spirit, and let her just share of the great love that you have and her love for the people in Congo. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys again. And just want to say, I'm just going to take this. God is so good. And it's just exciting to be able to be here and give some updates about what God has been doing. My name's Julie. I work with a group called Overland Missions. I'm primarily based out of Congo. And one of our main goals is to go into areas that have never heard the gospel. So a lot of times it's rural, neglected, forgotten people. And then evangelism, discipleship, leadership training, all the things, as well as some other different various parts of our team where, you know, part of our team does water projects, part of our team does agriculture projects. I'm part of the medical ministry team. And it's all for God's glory because these are just very beautiful and practical ways that people understand and come to know the heart of the Father. And so if you want to just show the video real quick, and then I'll just share some fun testimonies from the last couple years. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick update about what God has been doing and just an encouragement as we continue to move forward as a team. And so, like I said, I'm working in Congo. And if you ever watch anything or see anything on the news, you'll never hear anything good about what's happening there. It's just death and destruction and chaos and war and crimes against humanity. And, all of that is true. It's not that that doesn't exist. And yet at the same time, like God is at work and he's doing beautiful things. And I think that's one of the joys to be able to see, like, we've been there for several years and just, okay, Lord, what is your heart? What is your plan? What is your ways? And one of the things that we've seen him doing is as we continue to share his word and his love with people, lives have been changed. And so, one of the things that we initially saw is just within the body of Christ, there was a lot of just lovely people, but really interesting doctrine, that's a nice way to put it, or really crazy doctrine where there's people manifesting demons in the Corman, and the pastor's like encouraging witchcraft and ancestral worship and polygamy, and then there's other people, the people are living in like absolute poverty, and they come to the pastor like, hey, I need prayer because I'm sick, and the pastor's like, how much money are you going to give me? And then after that, like, that depends on how good of a prayer you're going to get. And these are people who can't even afford to like go to the clinic and get antibiotics. And so, that just like, there's other believers who know the word of God, but there's just so many churches that are just not at all reflecting the heart of God. And then the last year, we've seen God open up four different locations with pastors where they have 15 to 20 of them from various denominations, different churches. Some of them are bringing their wives as well to study the Word of God and start a doctrinal program and a theology program because there's no Bible college, there's no seminary, there's nothing available. And so it's really beautiful to see believers wanting to know the heart of God, wanting to know the word of God and move forward in that. And so that's such a beautiful thing to see. One of the other really encouraging things has been with our kids ministry, where it has just, that said, seven new locations, but actually since I put the video together in like December, there's three or four more locations that have expanded. And so praise God for that. And in a nation, in a location where the value of kids' lives is just very, very low, they're it's just one more mouth to feed. It's they're not respected, they're not cared for very much, and yet we've seen that God has just responded to these kids who are just so they just come before him and they're so open, and the Lord is using them. And there's been times that, like, there was one really fun testimony where, like, it's a community group that's in like a slum, kind of a really rough area of town. And one of the kids from the group had been in the hospital for a sickness. And so they decided after group, the kids were going to go and pray for their friends. So there's like five or six kids that are probably between the age of like 8 or 9 and 12. And they decide they go to this clinic and they go and they start praying for their friend. And the other patients, because it's not like a American hospital where you get like your own private room and then you shut the door, but it's like beds everywhere and everybody's all in the same area. And the other patients saw these kids praying and they're like, will you come pray for me too? Like 8-year-olds. And we're not talking like they're cool and dressed up or whatever, like they're dirty, they're crazy. It's just like 8-year-olds that play outside, but these kids just had so much faith and so much just absolute conviction that God was going to move. And so the whole entire clinic was prayed for, and even the staff at the clinic, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. We also live in an area where there's a lot of mines, and with that, there's a lot of not great mining practices. There's kids that are pressed into basically slave labor. The stories that you hear, can't repeat them because there's too many small kids here, but it's absolutely unreal and heartbreaking. And yet, we've prayed for years, like, Lord, there's just such injustice, and they don't hide it. It's just right there. And it's like the kids and the soldiers and the guys with guns, and you're just like, oh my gosh. And it's just right on the side of the road as you're driving around. And it's just like such evil and chaos just right in front of you. And you're like, Lord, what are, like, we want to move. And he was just like, just wait and pray. And I'm like, ah, I'm not very good at doing that, but I will try. And then this last year, one of our Congolese missionaries was like, I'm going to go into that mine and I'm going to talk to the one in charge. And he did. And the guy gave him permission. And currently now there is kids ministry happening on the grounds of the mine for the kids that are like working in the mines. And these kids haven't seen their circumstances change yet. And yet I feel like it's so prophetic because they are worshiping and glorifying God, before they're walking in freedom and before they're understanding that their life has so much value. But they're like, they know that God sees them. They know that he answers their prayer, and they're going back home and praying for their parents and praying for other people within their communities. And it's just like, as this continues to grow, like, of course, God is going to use anybody whose heart is soft and tender and willing to be used by him. And these kids, you know, they hear his voice and they know his presence, and they respond. And you'll just see these kids sitting there and just weeping in the presence of the Lord as we, you know, take time to hear his voice and to worship. And it's so incredibly beautiful. And I think you saw the picture of some of the tribal leaders, and we've worked with tribal leaders over the years. We want to like honor and respect them as we're going into new areas and get permission to work in their area. And God opened up this phenomenal opportunity across Africa, where one of our Overland's main international bases in Zambia. And God made this crazy thing happen where we had a King of King events where tribal leaders were invited, chiefs were invited to come and just have a time of worship and under like encouragement. And the gospel was shared, people got saved. It was absolutely unreal. And at that time, there was a few leaders that came from Congo. And from that, they invited us into a new area. And so we went to follow up with them. And it's not unheard of to have tribal leaders as they have their ceremonies and whatever, that they do participate with a significant amount of witchcraft. Sometimes they even offer human sacrifices. It's super crazy. Not everybody, but like it's not unheard of. And so we were invited to share with these tribal leaders the chaplaincy program, which is just kind of briefly, like it's similar to like King David and the prophet Nathan, where there's an opportunity for encouragement and accountability for prayer. Like often the tribal leaders and the chiefs and the kings, they're not allowed to just go to normal church, even if they are a believer, because there's like a protocol. You don't hang out with like common people. You got to like hang out with the big people or whatever. Anyway, and so there's not often that encouragement. And so we've in Zambia, there's over 300 chiefs that have taken on a chaplain, which is absolutely amazing. And in Congo, we have about 30 right now. And so we in this new area, we went just to present this opportunity, like, hey, are you interested? And at that meeting, we had seven chiefs, and it wasn't going to be like a preaching meeting. It was just like, hey, we want to introduce ourselves and just give you this opportunity. And during this time, one of the chiefs was like, hey, I need to confess something. Like when I became a chief, I did participate with witchcraft in the ceremony, but he's like, I didn't know that I didn't have to. He's like, I didn't know that it could be different. He's like, will you teach me how to be a man of God who's also a tribal leader? And it's just like, at that meeting, it was so crazy because like most of us who were there, we're like 20s, 30s, 40s. And this guy is definitely like much older, very well respected. He's over a huge population of people. And it is just unheard of to ask somebody to give you counsel for how to be a chief or how to be a man of God. And yeah, it was just the most phenomenal opportunity to be like, yes, we're coming back. And so actually in May, I'm taking a team up there to launch the chaplaincy program into this one area. And so it's just amazing to see that God has done this and just opening up doors. Cause it's like, you can't make that happen in our flesh. Like there's nothing about us is like, we're not cool. We're not fancy. We don't have big titles or anything. And yet the Spirit of God had prepared those hearts and minds to have a desire to know God's heart and to be humble enough to ask for counsel. At that, also in that same location in Kaleme, it's not too far from where some of the conflict on the east side of Congo has been happening. And there's actually a lot of people who have fled conflict. And we visited this one area, and this chief, as he welcomed us into his home, there's nothing there. There's like one plastic chair and like a wooden bench that's just really rustic and kind of, you got to sit precariously so it doesn't like wobble too much and break in half. And as we were chatting with him, there's like nothing in the house. And he said, you know, the rebels came through a couple months ago, looted everything, took everything, destroyed a bunch of homes and caused a lot of problems. But he's like, I'm just so happy that you're here because my people need Jesus. And actually there's like normal chiefs, senior chiefs, paramount chiefs, and then you have like emperors and kings, like everybody has a level, but he's one of the like paramount chiefs. And so under him are several other chiefs. So there's thousands and thousands of people that he's responsible for. And in an area a few hours away, there had been quite an issue of conflict. And so currently there's 2,000 people who fled that area. They have nothing. They don't have jobs. They don't have food. They don't have supplies. A lot of them lost family members, experienced some pretty significant, terrible things during that situation. And now they're living in front of his, basically in front of his home in a camp, in addition to all the other people who are part of his, village. So there's thousands and thousands of people. And he was just saying, you know, like, please come back. My people need Jesus. And it's such a beautiful opportunity because we're, you know, to have access to thousands of people who the chief has recognized, like the only thing that will bring change and bring healing and bring peace and reconciliation is if Jesus comes to this place. So please come and bring the Lord back. And so that's also one of the plans for May is that we're bringing some of our kids ministry team to launch a kids ministry program and train some people at that specific camp, as well as the agriculture team. Because here's people who used to be farmers or, you know, other business people, but now that they've like fled conflict, they don't have a current job or anything. And so we're going to do some trainings with them. And then just some prayer counseling for people to just hear the voice of God over some of the pain in their life and just know that He loves them so much and just have a time with them. And so it's just been such a joy and an honor to be able to see that, like I said, statistically and, you know, circumstantially, you don't always think that, you know, it's sometimes overwhelming because you see the statistics and you see the numbers and yet we're like, Lord, you are working and you're taking one life at a time and one community at a time and one family at a time and you're redeeming it. And we're seeing him move in such beautiful and phenomenal ways. And it was just such an encouragement to me, as I was reading through John 15 recently about just the way that God has invited us into what he's doing, where he, you know, I love what you were sharing about. He sees and he knows and he has seen what's happening and he has not forgotten us. And it's not that he's, you know, passively uninterested in the circumstances that were happening in our life. And yet, as we reflect on this, the season of, you know, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, like we as children of God, like we have access to Almighty God because of the work that Christ did on the cross. And the veil was torn, and Christ's death has made it possible for us to know the heart of the Father. And may we never get so casual and take that for granted, like, oh, thank God I'm going to heaven and like my sins have been forgiven and praise God. And then we just like sit in our, you know, like, thank you, Jesus. This is good. But we have been forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can be a reflection of Christ's heart. And so we've given them been given the mandate of the Great Commission. And you know, we even look at, you know, Matthew 10 is Jesus was sending out his disciples and his apostles, and he's like, as you're going, he sent them out, and he was saying, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without paying. Freely you have received, freely you have, we give. And that's such a joy. And it comes from this place of like, as I know my Father's heart, as I know his intentions, as I know his purposes, we can move forward in those situations. And like I said, I was just meditating in John 15. And starting in verse 4, and it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And then if you skip down to verse 7, it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then we skip down to 16, and it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded you so that you will love one another. And this is the beauty of as we come to know the heart of the Father, as we sit in his presence, as we sit at his feet, as we hear his voice, as we meditate on his word, we are changed and we know the peace of Christ and we know the love of the Father, but that changes us where we now have the confidence that we can go because The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of us and is moving as we participate in walking by His Spirit. And He allows us to be a part of His plans. He has a plan of redemption. He has seen people, you know, there's oftentimes that we'll show up in a community or a village and they've never seen a white person. They've never heard the name of Jesus. They're, you know, sometimes there is a church, sometimes there isn't, but we're going in with such a privilege to be like, you know what? You guys saw that road. It's a little bit rough. And if we've taken motorcycles today, let me tell you, my back is killing me and I'm popping ibuprofen. And yet it's like, it's so worth it at the end of the day, because you get to introduce people to say like, God loves you so much and it is possible to know Him. And it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter your background or your past or, you know, your education level. Like, God wants to not only touch your heart, but use you to bring about His kingdom and His glory. And there was one time we showed up in this community, and I realized that not every part in the world is quite this way, but a lot of the culture where we are is people feel obligated to be polite to us. And so even if they wouldn't necessarily want to like, hey, we've come to talk to you about Jesus, can we hang out and chat? They feel like the obligation to be polite and be like, yeah, sure, you can sit here and talk, even if that's not really what they want. And so we showed up in this one like area, and it had like several different homes or like mud huts and stuff. And so it's like, you have the family, you have the aunt, the uncle, the grandma, you know, the extended family or whatever, and everybody kind of came out, and there was the grandma who came out is very, very old and kind of arthritic and crippled, and she had like a cane, and she can't even like straight up walk, so they're kind of like half dragging her, kind of carrying her out, and she like sits up on a mat, and the rest of the family wasn't really interested. We shared the gospel, and they were pretty hard, and just, yeah, whatever. But this grandma was like tracking. And at the end, when we gave an opportunity for her to do you want to choose salvation? She's like, absolutely. And so we prayed for her, and she was just absolutely like full of joy. And then, you know, like, do you need prayer for anything else? And she's like, yeah, you know, my back, my hip, my knee, you know, everything as it goes. So we're like, absolutely. And so we started praying for her. And as we prayed for her, like, God miraculously touched her body. And so here's this elderly woman who like legitimately hasn't been free of pain or walked for years, years and years and years. And all of a sudden, she's just like, God touched her and all the pain was gone. And she straightens up and she starts singing and dancing. And we're just like, wow, praise God. And her family's like, I'm not sure what's going on, but wow, you know, and then she's like, she stops for a moment and she's like, yeah, and I had some demons, so we probably should pray for that too. So we like prayed over that as well. And she just continues worshiping the Lord. And it's just this moment. She's just dancing. And then all of a sudden she like stops and she just like starts running the other direction. I'm like, my goodness, I like thought everything was going really good. Like, what's going on? She's like, I have to tell my neighbor. She's like, she doesn't know about Jesus. And it was just, this woman has no idea of like the doctrinal theology of what it means to be a believer, how you should share your faith, what it means to be the Great Commission. All she knows is that Jesus has touched her, and she knows somebody else who needs a touch of the Lord as well. And just with her like perfect, just simplicity of faith, all she knew is like, what God has done for me, He can do for somebody else. And that's the joy that we have as believers, as God has touched our lives, as He has changed us, as He has set us free. We can't keep that to ourselves. And the world is in a desperate place of, you know, there's brokenness and darkness and chaos everywhere we look. You know, sometimes it's a little bit more obvious, and, you know, but like the Lord longs to minister to people and touch their lives. And as we abide in Him, and as we move from that place of abiding, He gives us His courage and His boldness. And by His Spirit, we can change, bring His change into the communities. And we have been chosen and set apart so that His kingdom can come and His will can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so today, we have this beautiful opportunity to rejoice in all that God is doing and the breakthroughs that are happening and the lives that are being changed. And what it comes down to is that We are called to live a life worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, called to live a life worthy of his love. And that's a choice every day. And you know, it's a beautiful opportunity to be like, Lord, as we go and as we move, give me your eyes to see, show me the people around me who are desperately in need of your love and your boldness. And that's the expectation that we have, that God's going to move and that he's going to continue to draw people to himself. And so just wanted to say thank you guys so much for your prayers and encouragement and support. And just as we move forward in the next couple months, just expectant for God to move and touch many, many lives with his gospel. And just wanted to share with you what he's been doing. And, you know, as there's testimonies that come, as God is using you, I'd love to hear those as well for how God is moving in your community as well. So, yeah, thank you, Lord.
I think it'd be appropriate for us to pray for Julie. So if three of you want to come up and join us in that, you can, or if you want to just stay there and just extend your hands, that would be awesome. Father, it's so good to know that you're at work around the world, Lord, and you're doing an amazing work of art, Lord, and weaving this tapestry together that you call the body of Christ. Lord, you've gifted us all so uniquely, Lord, but you've called us to move as one. And so, Father, whether we're going or we're giving or we're praying, whatever it happens to be, Lord, that's all part of the ongoing work of the ministry. And I thank you, Lord, for Julie's heart, Father, for her heart attitude to quickly point to you of all and all that's accomplished, Lord, that you might receive all the glory. Father, we pray and just plead the blood of Jesus over her. Father, that you would hedge her about and her team, Lord, that you bind the evil one and his helpers, Lord, that you would not allow them to have access to them at all, that they would continue to do even greater things, Lord, in the days ahead as they rest wholly upon your sufficiency, Lord, and not their own. So give her continued guidance and direction, Lord. Encourage her heart, Father, during those times when discouragement or the like can set in, Lord. Would you be her strength, her shield, and help her to remember that she is loved and being prayed for by many. So, Lord, guide and direct as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.